Sun's Week in All. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports.
They're playing back.
The men's FIBA Basketball World Cup in China tips off Tuesday's show. Argentina and Spain posted victories Tuesday to advance to the semifinals of the World Championship Tournament. Argentina defeated Serbia 97-87, while Spain beat Poland 90-78. Point guard Facundo Campazzo was the player of the game for Argentina. He tallied 18 points, 12 assists, 6 rebounds, and 3 steals in an excellent all-around performance. The 28-year-old Campazzo is currently under contract with the Spanish club Real Madrid. Meanwhile, another 28-year-old point guard, Ricky Rubio of the NBA's Phoenix Suns team, played a big role in Spain's victory. Rubio had 19 points, 5 rebounds, and 9 assists for the Spaniards, who won their only world title in 2006 in Japan. Meanwhile, we have to go all the way back to 1950 for Argentina's only world title when it hosted the FIBA championship. Argentina will next play the winner of Wednesday's quarterfinal between France and the two-time defending world champion, United States. And Spain will meet the winner of Wednesday's other quarterfinal between Australia and the Czech Republic. The semifinal games will be played Friday in Beijing, China, and the final will be Sunday, also in Beijing. As Samson Omale reported on Monday's show, Nigeria defeated host China 86-73 on Sunday to finish as the top African team and qualify for next year's Olympic men's basketball tournament in Tokyo. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
This is Dikembe Mutombo. I am from Africa. Malaria kills thousands of children every day. Don't let your child be one of them. Make sure they sleep under a treated mosquito net. Beating malaria is like winning at basketball. You need to get to the net.
This is the Voice of America. Washington, D.C.
Voice of America.
I had the voice of America calling on my wavelength. A man was coming out of Frankfurt, Maine. I had the voice of America drowning on my wavelength. Singing, come back.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. The Rugby World Cup officially kicks off Friday, September 20th, at Tokyo Stadium. Japan will host Russia in the opening match of the tournament, which goes through November 2nd. The All Blacks of New Zealand are bidding for their third consecutive Rugby World title. They play their opening match on September 21st against the Springboks of South Africa in Yokohama, Japan. South Africa and neighbor Namibia are the two African teams in the 20-nation tournament. The Namibians play their first match on September 22nd against Italy in Higashi, Osaka, Japan. I know many South Africans will be cheering for their two-time world champion Springboks to go far in Japan. Rugby is virtually a religion in South Africa, especially among the country's white population. Ahead of the Rugby World Cup in Japan, an unlikely shrine to rugby is uniting South African sports fans of all colors and creeds. In this encore Sunny Side of Sports presentation, Darren Taylor tells us more from Johannesburg.
Die energie moet ik af van mij, die allemaal weer dan komt.
Silver-haired and always smiling, Benny Buertus has cut generations of men's hair in his shop in the working-class Johannesburg suburb of Newlands.
Die mense in die area is baie arm.
A client chats with Buertus as others wait their turn for a haircut. Among them, a burly bearded mechanic wearing oil-stained boots and the suited multi-millionaire owner of a shopping mall. What attracts such a diverse clientele is an amazing collection of rugby paraphernalia. On the walls and ceilings are thousands of autographed rugby jerseys, caps, pens, scarves, balls, glasses, flags, all hunted down by Buertus or donated to him by rugby fans across the world. The barber says his obsession with all things rugby started with a friend's joke almost 50 years ago.
He said, why doesn't you start making it not only a plain barber shop? And from that day, it's just growing and growing and growing.
Buertus' rugby gear overflows into the back of his shop and his nearby house. Over the years, Buertus has cut many Springbok legends' hair. They too were happy to donate valuable memorabilia.
Like on Pete Malong, he died now a month ago. I was honest to know him very well. From Fanny King, beautiful rugby players, good rugby players. Then my oldest Transvaal player, Tini Matheson.
One of his favorite items is a 19th century rugby ball from England. A massive leather laced oval, about three times the size of a modern ball. Buertus says his business just looks like a barbershop, when it's actually South Africa's only true rugby museum.
My book collection is from 1818, from the start of rugby. That's the oldest, is that book, and then I got a photo there from 1912, 1913 of the Springboks.
Then he gestures towards a green bottle covered in dust. Its label is falling apart, but on it is the famous symbol of South African rugby, a jumping Springbok antelope.
And then I got the bottle of wine. He's more than 100 years off Transvaal.
Open it.
No. I can give you a glass of water, but not my wine.
Buerta's colleague, Louis de Hart, says many rugby fans, men, women, and children, visit Benny's not for a haircut, but just to talk rugby and to stare in wonder at the memorabilia.
They all like have a debate about the teams, and sometimes they quite a bit of an argue, not like physical, but that happens a lot, yeah.
Zalinga, playing very deep, maybe a little bit too deep to put up.
It's a Saturday afternoon, and some of Buerta's die-hard patrons watch a local rugby game on TV inside the barbershop. At times like these, they often share their fondest rugby memories. Peter Wilson remembers his first schoolboy rugby game in the 1940s.
I was so stupid. I was a front ranker. I took the ball, and when the chap came rushing to me, I threw the ball over his head and ran around him to catch it again. I didn't even know about the forward pass. I made a proper idiot of myself.
At Benny's, there's cautious optimism about the Springboks' chances of capturing an unprecedented third Rugby World Cup title.
What I always say, it's not the size of the dog in the fight, it's the size of the fight in the dog.
Outside his shop, Buertus fires up the barbecue on the pavement and the party starts. naturally, with a CD of some of South Africa's most loved rugby tunes.
What it feels like to dummy into sidestep with a leather ball in your hand.
Back inside, Boetus gazes at a faded photo. It's Loftus Versfeld Stadium, Pretoria, 1968. And Springbok scrum half Davie de Villiers has just scored a try to destroy the British Lions. The barber whispers, "Do it again, boys. Do it again." Darren Taylor for VOA News, Johannesburg.
Do it again, boys. Do it again. And thanks to Darren Taylor for that rugby feature. Meanwhile, the IAAF World Championships in Athletics begin 1 week after the start of the Rugby World Cup on September 27th in Doha, Qatar. The United States dominated the medal table at the last World Championships 2 years ago in London. Team USA tallied 30 medals, 10 gold, 11 silver, and 9 bronze. Kenya and South Africa finished second and third, respectively, at London 2017. The Kenyans won 11 medals, 5 gold, 2 silver, and 4 bronze. And the South Africans won 6 medals, 3 gold, 1 silver, and 2 bronze. Nigeria has failed to win a medal at the past 2 World Championships in athletics. In fact, we have to go back to the 2013 World Championships in Moscow, where Blessing Okagbare won a silver and a bronze. For the last time, the Nigerian team got on the medal board. Team Nigeria is optimistic, though, after emerging overall winners in athletics at the recent African Games in Morocco, with a total of 23 medals in track and field. Sunday Adeleye is the technical director of the Athletics Federation of Nigeria. In an interview with Iron Mike Mbonye, Adeleye said Team Nigeria will leverage the success from the African Games to try and win medals in Doha.
Team Nigeria Athletics arm of Team Nigeria came up winning 10 gold medals. That's winning athletics overall in Africa. That is to say, we are the champions, of course, in athletics in Africa. So our target was way beyond, way above 10 gold medals. But unfortunately, we had some hitches here and there, and then that limited our strength. And of course, it was a good outing for us, but we've learned from our mistakes, and then we'll go back to our drawing boards to actually make amends for subsequent events.
The 17th edition of the World Athletics Championship is scheduled to start on the 27th of September at Doha, Qatar. How prepared is Team Nigeria for this great event?
Well, we're on top of our game, and the athletes, of course, the African Championship has actually given a whole lot of the athletes insight on the readiness, the level of readiness for their participation. So, of course, since we came back, we went back to do some one or two little corrections and then to prepare ourselves. The team is strengthened. We're talking to the athlete. Everybody is committed. Everybody wants to go out there because we know what is at stake. And then going for the World Championship is a very big event for us, and we're not taking it for granted. So the athletes are in their own level, trying to do what they can do best to get Nigeria a topmost performance, podium performance.
How many athletes do you intend taking to the World Athletics Championship, and what's your target at the Games?
The World Championship is a very big event where you have all, it's not an African competition, it's a world competition. So it's a very tough, big order for us. And we are out there. We will not want to start counting medals or saying we're going to go there to win this and that. But we're going to go there to do our own very best. Of course, we're going to win medals, we're going to pick medals, and then, of course, we have our stronghold. And I think it's not also very polite to come out and say, oh, we're going to go now because this is World Championship, and start exposing our preferred events where we believe we can go out there and then pick medals. The team strength is way over at least 27 because of the relay teams and then the individuals, because we want to spread our team across so that at least the athletes will not be overloaded.
That's Sunday Adeleye, the technical director of the Athletics Federation of Nigeria, and he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Abuja, Nigeria.
Hi, my name is Sunday Adeleye, the technical director of Athletics Federation of Nigeria and the athlete representative on the board of Athletics Federation of Nigeria. I want to say a special shout out to the Sunny Side of Sports. Thank you very much. Have a lovely day.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. In African football, Zimbabwe, Djibouti, Malawi, and Mozambique all advanced to the continent's 40-team group phase Tuesday in preliminary round qualifying matches for the 2022 World Cup in Qatar. The Warriors of Zimbabwe survived a massive shock on the road to Qatar 2022, beating visiting Somalia 3-1 to win the home and away series 3-2 on aggregate. Now, all four goals on Tuesday came in some crazy closing stages of the second half. Kaiser Chiefs man Kamabiliat was the 92nd minute hero for the Warriors of Zimbabwe. He fired a left-footed shot into the top right corner, ending the hopes of the Somalis, the lowest-ranked team involved in Africa's Qatar 2022 qualifiers. Meanwhile, Djibouti played a scoreless draw with Eswatini and advanced thanks to a 2-1 victory in the first leg, and in Blantyre, host Malawi advanced with a 1-0 victory against Botswana. The teams played a scoreless draw in the first leg. Gerald Peary's late penalty kick saw the flames of Malawi through. And Mozambique defeated Mauritius on Tuesday 2-0 to win that series 3-0 on aggregate. Reports from Mozambique say the hosts were dominant throughout, and the score line could have been even larger, except for some heroics in the Mauritius goal by Jean-Louis. Once again, in the African qualifying for Qatar 2022 on Tuesday, Zimbabwe, Djibouti, Malawi, and Mozambique all advance to the 40-team group phase in Africa. In more football news, talks continue about possible reforms in Europe's main club tournament. Joining us with that story is my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. European clubs remain divided on the future of the UEFA Champions League. The region's national leagues have strongly opposed a joint proposal issued by UEFA and the European club associations on plans to reshape Europe's main competition. ECA members are in Geneva, Switzerland to discuss the reforms, and Juventus president and ECA chairman Andrea Agnelli says he has every intention of keeping the process open and transparent.
What has been very important about the proposal that has been put on the table is that it has made everybody engaged that there is a requirement for change. The proposal that has been put on the table, it's a proposal that is in the interest of all, and it is a good proposal. Will that one be the one that will arrive first at the finish line whenever the decision will be taken? It might not be.
The proposed reboot would include a tiered system that would automatically qualify the top six teams in each group for competition the following year. And Agnelli reiterated his call for an expansion in continental competitions, which would feature more matches and more teams.
What matters to us are the principles. I think what's important, it's more European games, if that's what all we want. We want a fairer access. We want greater participation from minor countries. What we want to remain loyal with are our principles. That is what matters in a unity, in a unified environment where all stakeholders can come together and think for the best of European football going forward.
Those in opposition say the planned proposals are, in part, a cash cow for professional clubs and would do economic harm to small and medium clubs in the domestic leagues. But Agnelli disagrees and says, in fact, the bigger clubs face the biggest risk.
We are the ones carrying the entrepreneurial risks. We are the ones investing, be it in infrastructures, be it in youth development, be it in players. We are the ones that carry the financial risk of the whole organization. So that is where we want to make sure that our requirements are heard.
UEFA is looking to reform its club competitions from 2024 onwards. And Agnelli says the meeting in Geneva will mark the end of phase one of the consultation process. And sports fans, we will keep you updated on any changes as they occur. And that's all from me. Sonny, back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Turning to tennis, 19-year-old Canadian Bianca Andreescu has jumped 10 places to a career-high number 5 in the women's world rankings after winning her first major title in New York. Andreescu scored a 6-3, 7-5 victory over American star Serena Williams in the U.S. Open women's final. In the process, Bianca Andreescu became the first woman in the Open era, which began in 1968, to win the U.S. Open in her main draw debut at the tournament. Meanwhile, Serena Williams dropped one place to number 9 in the women's rankings, while Australia's Ashley Barty replaced Japan's Naomi Osaka at number 1. In the men's rankings, U.S. Open men's champion Rafael Nadal stayed at number 2, but Rafa did close the gap between him and number 1 Novak Djokovic, who exited the U.S. Open in the 4th round. Runner-up Daniil Medvedev of Russia is up to a personal best number 4 in the men's tennis rankings from number 5 after reaching his first Grand Slam final. I mentioned Rafa Nadal. If you go to the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page at facebook.com/VOA Sunny, you'll see a photo of Rafa celebrating his 19th major title in New York. Let's give a shout out to Associated Press photographer Charles Krupa, who shows Rafa's bulging biceps in the photo. Finally, the Sunny Side of Sports programming note, my special guest on Wednesday's show will be none other than Austin Okon-Akpan, head of sports at VOA partner Channels Television in Nigeria. For our listeners in Nigeria, you might see me occasionally on Thursdays doing a Skype chat on Channels Television with Austin. Once again, Austin Okon-Akpan will be my special guest on Wednesday's show. And that wraps up the September 10th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Thomas Blondet. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, the biggest threat to President Yoweri Museveni's re-election in 2021 may be a 37-year-old musician. The future of Uganda on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
What's up, Africa? I'm Jackson Bungani in Washington.
And I'm Nadia Sami. Thanks for joining us. We'd love to have you on board. This is Upfront on The Voice of America.
Listen, we need to discuss what's going on in your communities, issues that affect you.
Are you involved?
Are you engaged in transforming your society?
Today, right now, this is your platform.
Let us know what you've been up to.
Check us out on Facebook. Drop us a line.
It's Upfront Wednesdays at 17:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
Are you suffering from heartache? No problem. We've got the cure for you. The African beat can soothe your heartache with its awesome tunes from the African continent. So join me, David Vandy, Mondays through Fridays at 0900 and 2000 Universal Time for a healing journey. I guarantee it.
This is Science in a Minute.
Scientists generally agree that there were five major mass extinction events throughout Earth's history. A new study by Michael Rampino from New York University and Xu Zongshen from China's Nanjing University suggests that devastation from the end Guadalupean extinction some 260 million years ago was underestimated and should now be considered the sixth major extinction event. Professor Rampino, in an email to VOA, says an estimated 60% of marine species and possibly a similar number of non-marine species disappeared because of the mass extinction. This compares with the infamous dinosaur-killing KT extinction, where 70 to 75% of species were lost. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
Join your host, Larry London, for Border Crossings, VOA's Worldwide Music Request Hour, every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in to hear your favorite songs and artists, win prizes and giveaways, and get the latest scoop from exclusive celebrity interviews. Send in requests to our Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, or call 202-618-2077 to have your favorite music played for the entire world. Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal.
VOA's Learning English is available online at learningenglish.voanews.com. Check out our programs such as Let's Learn English, English in a Minute, Everyday Grammar, and many more. VOA's Learning English, your reliable source for learning English.
Celebrate the sounds of Africa today, yesterday, and tomorrow. That's our mission in your show, Music Time in Africa. Hello, I'm your host, Heather Maxwell. Join me every Saturday and Sunday at 1500 and 2000 UTC and discover the best Pan-African music in the world. We play it all right here, only the best on VOA Africa.
The Voice of America's flagship global news program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. We have hundreds of reporters gathering the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 17 UTC and 2230 UTC. We're also available online at voanews.com.
We are always glad to have our listeners throughout Africa tuning in to our newscast covering Africa news. Tune in on the top of each hour 24/7. VOA is your trusted source of news and information.
This is VOA News. I'm Joe Palca.